بھارے دیگر صلوات
اللہم صلی علی محمد و آل محمد.
اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین وصلی اللہ علی سیدنا و نبینا ابی القاسم المصطفی محمد وعلی اہل بیتہ الطاہرین الانجلین بہم نتولى ومن اعدائہم نتبرأ الی اللہ. اللهم صل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا معينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
It is the eve of Friday and it is mustahab to recite this beautiful dua 10 times, which says ya da'im al fadl 'ala al bariyya ya basit al yadayn bil 'afiyya ya sahib al mawahib al saniyya sallana muhammad wa alihi khayr al wara sajiyya waghfir lana ya dhal 'ula fi hadhihi al 'ashiyya. It means that Ya da'iman fadna ala al-bariyya, O whose grace upon his creation is permanent. Ya basitan yadayni bil-atiyya, someone who when he wants to give or in giving his hands are open. Allah, his grace is permanent, not temporary. It isn't as such that he gives for a duration of time and then it ends. His bestowals are forever. No matter how much we want, no matter how much we ask, he grants, he gives. وَيَا بَاسِطًا يَدَيْنِ بِالْعَطِيَّةِ. And when it comes to giving, he gives a lot. Now this is this compassion of Allah, mercy of Allah, grace of Allah, rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala towards his creation. And we have these glorious teachings, sayings from Ma'sumin alayhi salam, that even the ayat of Quran are the same. They say that this rahmat of Allah, that is the mercy of Allah, it's towards everyone, regardless of that individual, whether or not he is faithful or faithless. Towards the mu'mineen, there's a special share of rahmat, which is known as Rahimiyat, Rahim being of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Towards the mu'mineen, Allah, he has a special share of mercy. So mercy of Allah, it's important that we look into it with a different sight, and among the qualities mu'mineen should possess is this iman, their faith of theirs, in the mercy of Allah, in the hope of Allah, having hope in Allah, being optimistic with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the teachings of Ma'sumin, they say that based upon the amount of hope, based upon the amount of optimism we have in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, we will be judged in the hereafter. That is, if we had a lot of hope in his mercy, a lot of optimism in his mercy, in his grace, we will be judged easily. And if that pessimism was more, he also will judge in the same way, with a pessimistic view and sight. So we have to increase this optimism in Allah, grace in Allah. Now one of the names that we find for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Rahmatun lil alameen. That is mercy to the creation, to the worlds. The same title is for all of the ayatma, رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. When about Ibnah al-Husayn was born in that birth certificate that was issued by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he also says that he, that is Aba Abdullah, is Rahmatun lil Alameen. Or the Imam of age today, he too is Rahmatun lil Alameen, that is mercy to the worlds. So when it is as such, we have to understand what exactly this means and to have a lot of hope in Ma'sumin alayhi wassalam, hope in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And when we talk about this mercy, we find in a glorious saying, a person, he comes and inquires to our eighth, from our eighth Imam Riza alayhi salatu wa salam. And in reply, Imam, he says that kulluna sufunun najat. That is, all of us, that is, all ma'sumeen, all of the imams, are the ships of salvation, ark of salvation. And then continues, says that, walakin safinatul Husayn awsa. The ship of Husayn, it's vast, wa fi nujjil bahr asra. And in these waves, dark waves of the oceans, it's fast. So all of the Imams are Safinatun Najat, ships of salvation, but the ship of Husayn, it's different. It takes everyone on board. And the most, as it was mentioned yesterday by Maulana as well, most of those who have found and sought salvation are through Aba Abdullah and Husayn. No matter what our wishes, our desires may be, outlet is Husayn. A majlis of Husayn, it's great. We find everyone lost, found in this majlis of Aba Abdullah and Husayn. So never underestimate any of these majalis that are held to mourn Aba Abdullah and Husayn. Du'as are granted under the dome, Qubba, of Aba Abdullah and Husayn. Shifa has been given and blessed in the dust of the grave of Aba Abdullah and Husayn. Lineage of Ma'asumeen of the Imam continues through Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Now one of the great ulama who passed away just recently, it's Ayatullah Sibawayh. If you go on Zainab.tv, the first Zainab.org, you have a little clip, a tangerine which opens when you log on. That is Ayatullah Sibawayh. Now he is among those ulama who cries for Aba Abdullah, a lot recites on it. Now, when asked that how come you cry and recite so much for Aba Abdullah, he says that Man azad shudaye Aba Abdullah and Husayna. That I was freed by Aba Abdullah and Husayna. Now, how come he was freed by Aba Abdullah? At the age of 40, he has blood cancer. And no treatment, no cure for him. And he's in coma. He's in coma for about 20 days. And in these days when he was in coma, both of his parents, father and mother, died on the same day. And he was not aware as to what has happened. When he came back, when he recovered from coma, he was informed that both of his parents have died. And then he says that in those days when I was in coma, I saw that my father and me, we have come to the shrine of Aba Abdullah and Husayn. Father and son. Son who is ill and who is on his deathbed in coma. He says that in those days I saw this vision that I with my father am in the shrine of Aba Abdullah and Husayn. My father, he's pleading for my shifa. And then he says that as we came into the shrine of Aba Abdullah and my father has his wish, his request, Aba Abdullah, he goes back. Comes back and says that no, his death is destined and he will die. Father pleads, says, you have to do something. You have to cancel this death of his. Undo it. He says that Aba Abdullah went into his shrine again and came back and says that life has been granted to him and he will live. Duration of his life also was set. He lived for about 89 or 91 years, that is about 45 years after this vision. So Aba Abdullah is that outlet where everyone finds and a hope, a ray of rahmatun lil alameen. So Abu Abdullah, Imam, he says that kulluna sufunun najah, all of us are the ships of salvation, but Abu Abdullah is different. In these du'as that we recite and have recited in the month of Ramadan, one of them was du'a Jawshan Kabir. And in that beautiful du'a, we have 100 segments, 1001 names of Allah. And in each segment, we find that in most of these segments, in all of these segments, with the exception of just one or two, it's all the compassion, grace, mercy of Allah which is reminded to us. In just one or two, we find that His adab, His wrath, which is being mentioned. Du'a, it opens as such, Allahumma inni as'aluka bismika ya Allahu ya Rahman, that is, Allah who is the merciful, ya Rahim, is that mercy of Allah towards the mu'mineen, ya Kareem, the generous, ya Muqeem, ya Adeem, ya Qadeem, are the names of Allah. And then we come to this point in one of these segments, says, ya Mughni al-Ba'is al-Faqeer, Ya Rasiq al-Tifl al-Saghir, Ya Rahim al-Shaykh al-Kabir, that is, oh, who He makes poverty stricken rich, who bestows or provides sustenance to that tifl, to that infant, to that child. Ya Rahim al-Shaykh al-Kabir, oh, He who has mercy on someone who is old. Ya Jabir al-Azm al-Kasir, that is, O who joins all the broken bones. Ya Ismat al-Khaif al-Mustajir, Ya man huwa bi'ibadihi khabirun basir, so on and so forth. So all of these beautiful phrases that we find in this segment are regarding the grace of Allah towards children, grace of Allah towards the elderly, grace of Allah, someone who is ill, grace of Allah towards someone who needs cure. So it's that compassion of Allah all the way through. Now in these few nights that we are here, we'll talk about compassion, mercy of Allah, and especially towards the compassion and mercy that we ought to have towards spouses and children. That is one of the important topics that inshallah which we will be covering. One of the names that we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quoting from Mahajjatul Bayda, here says that Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi sallam arhamun nas bin nisa wa sibyan. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he was among those who was the most merciful among the mankind towards women and children. So what does this exactly mean? That is, family values are among the most important, essential social institutions that we have. That is, if we want a society to be prosperous, if we want a society to be well, to be secure, to be healthy, that society has to possess some of these essential values. And as a society is made up of individuals, families, and every family, if it is good and healthy, secure, prosperous, as this society is made of these small components, we find that that society also becomes a healthy society. So for that society to be healthy, a family has to be healthy. That is all that is needed and required in that small component of this society has to be present. Now, one of the things that we find, I'll come to this topic slowly. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was happy, he was smiling. And when we see people smiling, it means that there is something, some type of a joy that has hit that individual as a result of which he is happy and he is smiling. So the person present over there, he comes and says to Rasulullah that, why are you so happy? He says that just now, Jibreel, he descended. He revealed to me that man salla alayya marratan sallallahu alayhi ashr. That is, whosoever recites a salawat on me, Allah sends salutation on him 10 times. And then says, وَمَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ عَشْرًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مَعَتْ مَرًا. That if someone recites salawat upon Rasulullah 10 times, says Allah sends salutations on him 100 times. And then continues, says, وَمَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ مَعَتْ مَرًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَلْفْ مَرًا. That is, if you send salutations upon Rasulullah 100 times, Allah sends salutations on him 1,000 times. Now, one of the beautiful etiquettes that we have, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Araki, he, whenever he got stuck, he wanted an outlet, he says, I just recited 100 salawats and I found my way out. So that is that iman that we have in this mercy of Rasulullah, as a result of this recitation of salawat, mercy of Allah is attracted, and all these closed doors, they open before an individual. وَمَنْ صَلَّى عَلَيْهِ أَلْفْ مَرَّةً. And then says, whosoever recites upon me 1,000 salawats, لَا يُعَذِّبُهُ اللَّهُ فِي النَّارِ أَبَدًا. Allah will never punish him in the fire ever. Just for that 1,000 recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
So, we have to come closer to Rasulullah, because Allah says, he is so close to me, he is so near to me. So we also have to try and do something. We come closer to Rasulullah in every aspect. Now this aspect that was just recited, that kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam arhamun nas bin nisa'i wa sibyan, that he was among those people who was the most loving and caring towards women and children. So when Allah is so close to Rasulullah and says that you recite on salawat, that benefit is there. So we also have to come closer to Rasulullah in all his seerah, in all his teachings, in all his etiquettes, etc. Now one of these reasons that we find all these turbulences in homes, it's lack of love, lack of devotion, lack of mahabbat, as a result of which every household becomes turbulent. Now one of the reasons for this turbulence, one of the ayat of Quran, it says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيءَ الْفَاحِشَةَ فَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Those who love to promote, fahisha means evil, indecency, amongst the mu'mineen, Allah says, for them is a painful punishment. Now, how do we apply this in our day-to-day life? There is a lot of wrong in every community. There is a lot of wrong in every household. We ask Allah to remove this wrong, to remove all this distress, to remove all this indecency from us, as a result of which our families, our homes, they become secure, more loving, more caring. And as these societies are made of these individual families, the society also will be prosperous. One of the things we find a lot today is by this internet. Something wrong seen by an individual with these iPhones, with these Blackberries, mobile phones, quickly a clip is made and it's launched on the internet. Within minutes, something wrong done by someone is promoted everywhere. So this is defamation. Defamation is haram. Mu'min, his dignity, his identity, his ihtiram, it's wajib. If I see something wrong in someone, I have no right to promote that. I have no right. Now putting that as a clip on the web, and then people looking at that, now even if that person had done wrong, the wrong of that individual was just one wrong. But the wrong that will be committed now by promoting that wrong of that mu'min, it's going to be magnified by huge. Says Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيءَ الْفَاحِشَ. That is, those who love to promote fahisha, indecency, amongst the mu'mineen, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That is, for them is a painful punishment, a painful punishment. في الدنيا, not only in this in the akhirah, that painful punishment will be in this dunya and in the hereafter. Well, akhirah, wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun, Allah knows and you do not know. Now, keeping this ayah in mind and this turbulence that we find in households and families, it's because of this wrong that we see in each other and we quickly promote it. Wrong if we see, we have to hide it. That is the teaching. One of the names of Allah Ta'ala is Sattarul Ayub. He hides the wrong of an individual. Now if we have this etiquette or this adat of hiding, covering the wrong of every other person, Allah will definitely cover the wrong that we have in the hereafter. But if we start promoting and magnifying the wrong of others, Allah will definitely magnify our wrong in the hereafter. He is Sattar al-Ayub. He does hide. But that hiding also reflects what our performance was in this dunya. If we have a lot of hope in Allah, He will judge us with a lot of grace. If we do not have that hope, He will also not judge with that grace. If we hide a lot of the wrong of mu'mineen, He also will hide a lot of our wrong that is present in us. Looking into the Munajat Sha'baniyya of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wa sallam, there Imam teaches this, Allahumma innaka satarta, that is, O God, you hid the wrong that I had in this dunya, but I am in need of that hiding in the hereafter more. Because there nothing will be hidden, but if you desire, if you wish, you can hide. So that is the dua that we have taught by Amir al-Mu'mineen, that in the hereafter, that has to be hid. So one of the things which causes this turbulence in our homes, it's lack of love, lack of devotion. And you have seen, we have seen a lot, that children, they hate to live in their homes. Not every child, but there is a lot. They want to run away, or hate to be with their families, or even hate to visit them. What is the reason behind that? Why some spouses, mostly men, mostly husbands, they don't return home happily? They are prepared to spend time outside in the most severe ways, in their cars, in uneasy situations, not go home. They are ready to stay and hours outside, come back home late when everyone is asleep. What is the reason behind that? Are prepared to spend that time as such. The reason for all of that is that lack of love, lack of devotion, lack of attraction, lack of affection, lack of nur, lack of enlightenment between the spouses and members of the family. So that has to be enhanced. And that has to be constantly polished by us. And there are all these different teachings that we have from Ma'sumin alayhi salam, that the light of muhabbat, love, enlightens one's soul, strengthens the human values that we have, the bond, and that makes life sweet. And when if a person finds this sweetness in his life, nothing can be compensated. Nothing can compensate that sweetness that he possesses. Now, one who has tasted this sweetness is not prepared to change that sweetness with anything else. Now those who do not possess that, they can understand that in easier words. We've seen this in this environment that we are living in the West. Just day before yesterday, it was Christmas, and we found some of the neighbors, their children, when they come to give gifts to their parents, with all that reluctance, that love and care that should be present between a mother and a son, a father and a son, that doesn't exist. So it's all these just cards and gifts and sweets, that is nothing, that is not love. Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam tests his son Sulaiman to see how much his intellectual maturity is. Says, asks a question to his son, Ayyu shay'in ahla, what is the sweetest thing? In reply, Prophet Sulaiman says, Al-mahabbatu hiya rawhullah bayna ibadih. Mahabba, love, it is that love, it is that grace, ease, mercy of Allah in His creation. At this reply, Prophet Dawood, he was happy that my son, his maturity, his intellectual maturity is good. Now we can staunchly say that the only miraculous element or the best correction facility in every society is muhabbat. That this creation that Allah has created, we find that the foundation stone of this creation is muhabbat. Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, Khalaqa al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan. Says that Ar-Rahman, that is the name of Allah, the merciful. Khalaqa al-Insan, he created man. So that creation foundation is muhabbat. That he, or looking into Hadith al-Qissa, that Allah says that I created this entire creation limahabbatikum, for the love of you, Ahlul Bayt. So that love is the basis or the foundation of this entire creation. And to elevate the societies at large and these smaller societies that are these homes of ours, this love has to be well equipped in our homes, between spouses, between children, between a father, a son, a daughter, a mother, the members of the society, members of the household, that love has to be there and in immense quality. And in this dark house, which is this dunya, family problems are just increasing by the minute. And the reason behind all of that is that lack of love. Separations, divorces are at a constant rise. The reason for that is that lack of love, lack of devotion. Now, looking into the teachings that we have from Ma'sumeen, and in particular Rahmatun Lil Alameen, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that habbaba ilayya fi dunya thalath, that for me three things are the most beloved: an-nisa, women; wa tib, fragrances; wa qurratu ayni fi salat, and the joy of my, delight of my eyes is prayers. Now what exactly these mean, inshallah, we'll touch them. So once the Prophet just mentioned that he was happy, and he then says that whoever recites upon me or says salam to me, that salawat and that salam will multiply by 10. That whenever you say sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah, or say that assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, that multiplies and magnifies by 10. Now looking back into history, that is before Islam, that is the era of Jahiliyyah, ignorance. Although nowadays also it's no less than that era of Jahiliyyah of that time. So that was that era, the ancient era of Jahiliyyah, and today it's that modern era of Jahiliyyah. There, looking back into history, so much of oppression was seen towards the women, and the girls in particular, that people, they used to be harsh towards their maids, the slaves, women in particular, and bury the girls alive. And Quran also talks about this, says that وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That is, when they were informed, or they were announced, or that news was given to them that they've been blessed with a girl, you found that they were upset. Blessed with a daughter. And that says that يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. And then that person who was informed of this good news that he has been blessed with a daughter, he hides himself from the people because of this evil and this bad news that was given to him, that he has been blessed with a daughter. Now that says أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونَ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُرَابِ. Quran then says that this person who was blessed with this news, given this news, says, what shall I do? Shall I keep it, that is this daughter, with disgrace, or shall I bury her in the dust? Allah sa'a ma yahkumun. This is the worst of what they used to judge. Now, this was the era of ignorance, that people, they used to bury their daughters alive at that time. Now today it's even worse. In this modern era of ignorance, people, they abort their children who hasn't been born. Then they used to bury her alive. Now they flush down the drain. When our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, was informed that he has been blessed with a child, he never asked, is it a son or a daughter, male or a female? The first thing he inquired was that, is she normal? Is she fine? Is he fine? Is the baby fine? And then when he was informed, yes, the baby is fine, then he used to thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that he has blessed him with a normal child. So never did he ask whether it's a boy or a girl, daughter or a son. And it is reported that a group of people, they came to the Prophet and they reported what they had done. Among them was the second Khalifa too. He always was rough and tough in the negative sense. Ibn Abil Hadid Mu'tazili, one of the commentators of Nahj al-Balagha, he says that, I always wondered and do not know what the secret behind this is, that why the followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam are kind, are caring, are loving. Why do they have feelings towards each other? Whence the latter, the second, he wasn't as such. Those feelings, that love, that care did not exist. Now this can be witnessed even today. Now those of you who have been to Medina by the grave of Rasulullah, you see how this arrogant behavior of theirs is. Followers of who? And here he says that followers of Amir al-Mu'mineen, how come they are so much caring, loving, and they are so good. So here, this is something which we learn from the seerah of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, which itself is mercy, who himself is mercy, rahmatun lil alameen, like Rasulullah who was rahmatun lil alameen. Amir al-Mu'mineen to his killer says that because he is the captive, you have to have mercy to him, towards him. When that milk was given to Amir al-Mu'mineen, when that physician, he said that he can be cured with milk. Kufa, everyone with a cup of milk was present by the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen, that because he has said shifa will be in milk, everyone says this is the milk that will be presented to our master, to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says give that to Ibn Muljim, my killer, first. Now here we find that Imam al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, he says that he broke our back. Imam says, look at him, how scared he is, how his eyes are rolling. Have mercy on him. So someone who is connected to that mercy, that is Amir al-Mu'mineen, reflects his mercy, and that kindness, that devotion, that love, that care also reflects in this individual. An Arab, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, on the day of judgment, who will take an account? In reply, Rasulullah says, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself who will take an account. Now this person, he got happy. He went. Here Rasulullah says to his ashab that he got what he wanted, that's why he went away so happy. On his way, he met someone. He said that, why are you so happy? What is the reason behind this joy of yours? He says, I had a question and a worry, and that is, on the day of judgment, who will be judging us? Who will take an account from us? And I got the answer. I inquired. Rasulullah said, it is Allah himself who will take an account. And then he says, because it is Allah, and he hasn't given the charge to anyone else, I'm at ease. Why is that? Says Al-Kareem Ida Qadar Afa. That is Kareem, who is generous, who is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, who possesses that might. With all that might which he has, what that benevolent does, what that generous does, is that he doesn't take a revenge, he forgives. Says that this is the beauty of someone who is Kareem, who is generous. We find that Qais bin Asim, a dignitary in the era of ignorance, head of the tribes, he is among those personalities who instructed people to bury their daughters alive. He himself, he buried 12 of his daughters. When the 13th child was born, and that was a daughter again, His wife, she hid the daughter, sent her to her family members to raise her, and told her husband that it was a stillborn baby. The baby died. He did not know that the child was still living. It so happens that when he returns after many years from one of his business trips, he finds there's a child playing in his house. Says this child resembles the other children of his too much. Says this is definitely that child of mine which my wife has lied. And he finds out that that was his daughter. Drags his daughter, brings her, although she was crying, she was pleading, buries her alive. 13th daughter of his, and he buried her. Now, when the Islam had come and people had embraced and they came to Rasulullah for forgiveness, for repentance, for confession, whatever it was, he also comes and confesses and says that this is the wrong that I have done, and for this wrong I want to be forgiven. As he was narrating the story of the 13th daughter, how he dragged and how she pleaded, how she cried, and how he dumped and buried her alive, Rasulullah, his pure eyes, they started to cry. Tears rolled out. And then he says that man la yarham, la yurham, that someone who had no mercy will not have mercy upon. So this is how this whole system works. That if we have mercy towards each other, a lot of mercy will be reflected from Allah towards us. And if we have no mercy towards our spouses, now all of this to a lesson to myself, towards our children, then we also cannot hope for that mercy to reflect upon us from Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. So for that mercy to be attracted, we also have to possess that mercy in ourselves. Now, the rank of Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. And in those days, that is the era of Jahiliyyah, there were many good people like Sa'sa bin Najiyah. He is the grandfather of Farazdaq. Farazdaq is among the great poets of Ahlul Bayt. What he used to do is that whenever a girl was born to a household in that era of ignorance, he used to buy that girl so that she is not killed by the father, by the parents of that household. And he says to Rasulullah that during that time, I bought 360 girls that were born and I saved them from being dead, from being buried alive. Now, the rank of Zahra salamu alayha, Quran says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that we have not sent you but as rahmat for the worlds. Rahmatan lil alameen. One of the great urafa is Marhum Tulami. He says rahmatan lil alameen. Rahmat over here is Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. That all that mercy was given to Rasulullah by Allah, and that is Zahra salamu. Or when we recite this dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا, that is the same here. Marhum Imani says that Hasana is Fatima. That is, Allah give Fatima to us in this dunya and give us Fatima to us in the hereafter. So Rahman, according to this Marhum, says, is Fatima alayhi salam, bestowed by the Almighty to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In Hadith al-Kisa, we read that four of the most exalted of the creation of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, that is the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Mustafa, and Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, they are hosted by Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. Now, here we find that Rasulullah, he feels that he is in pain. He is not easy. He finds shelter and security in the house of Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam. Refuge in Zahra. Who is she? A daughter, a lady. قَالَ إِنِّي أَجَدُ فِي بَدَنِي ضَعْفًا, that is, Zahra, I find that I have pain in me. أُعِيذُكَ بِاللَّهِ I seek the protection and refuge of Allah, Ya Abata, min al-dhawf. That's what she says. Now when Rasulullah comes to this haven of Zahra, to the house of Zahra, to the shelter of Zahra, why does he come? Because she is a reflection of that La ilaha illallah, a reflection of Tawheed, a reflection of mercy. And to find ease and salvation, you come towards mercy. So Rasulullah, he comes to this shelter, which is that shelter of Zahra, to this refuge of Zahra, to find, and this is the pivot of Hadith al-Qisa, is a lady. And the Prophet, he gives so much of attention to this issue, that she is a reflection of that kindness, of all those feelings. And many a times, now, just a few days ago, someone wrote, and she says that she was blessed with 3 daughters. Now she is ashamed to have another child, that if it's a daughter, people will start mocking at her, bichari, for example, that's what they say, because she has all daughters. Now all this is that thought and mindset of this era of ignorance. Daughters and sons, they make no difference. Whatever is given by Allah was the share of our sustenance, rizq that has been provided by Allah. So whether it's daughters, now we'll come to this point that here, Ma'soom alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that many a times daughters are better than sons, more beneficial for a good end of the parents. A son may not be beneficial for your good end, as a daughter will be beneficial for your good end as such. Now, says that Al-Banatu Hasanat. Girls are Hasanat. Hasanat is the plural of Hasana. Hasana means good. That is, if you do good, you will be rewarded. Says, for this Hasana, which Allah has given to you, says, you will be rewarded. Wal-Banun Ni'matun. Sons are Ni'mat, meaning a blessing. Says, Fal-Hasanat Yuthabu Alayha. For those hasanat, you will be rewarded. وَالنِّعْمَ يُسْأَلُ عَنْهَا. That when Allah gives you a blessing, He says, I will inquire that what did you do with that blessing? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That on the day of judgment, He will inquire you of the blessings that He had given to you. That He gave you a son, how did you deal with that blessing of yours? For hasanat, for daughters, He says, I gave you daughters, you will be rewarded for that blessing, for that hasana that I gave you. So daughters are hasana, good for good, one will be rewarded. Daughters are mercy. Daughters are mercy. So mercy protects man. There in Hadith al-Qisa, Rasulullah comes to this haven, to this refuge, to this shelter, which is that shelter of mercy and kindness and caring. You find a lot more in daughters than in sons. Some people, they request and wish for daughters. And we find that this wish of theirs, when it is analyzed, they say that, so that I wish I have a daughter, so that she cries for me in my funeral. It may sound a bit silly that he is wishing for a blessing, so that she cries in his funeral, so that as a result of her crying, mercy of Allah is attracted, descends on that marhum. But looking into the riwayat, we find in Usul al-Kafi, a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. Here Imam says, Inna Ibrahim sa'ala rabbahu an yarzuqahu bintan. Says Prophet Ibrahim, he was blessed with sons. Says Prophet Ibrahim asks Allah an yarzuqahu bintan, to bless him with a daughter. Why? Says tabkiyahu wa tanduba. Says that so that she cries and she weeps for him ba'da mawtih, after the death of Ibrahim. So that as a result of the crying, pleading of the daughter, mercy of Allah is attracted upon Ibrahim. He says, Allah, give me a daughter. Sons may not cry as like daughters do. Sons normally is when a father dies, when parents dies, they are busy as to what is going to be happening with the distribution, with the assets, with the business, with the money that has been left aside. Daughters have little to do with that. It's more pleading, crying, caring, that love and devotion they show. And this is something we know, we have seen, and is a fact. So daughters, here, Rasulullah, he says that hasanatun are good, and for that good, you will be rewarded. Sons are ni'mah, blessings, and for those blessings that he has given to you, you will be asked and inquired. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that Allah will inquire. Zahra salamullahi alayha is the daughter of Rahmatun lil Alameen. Here we find that in the glorious sayings that Fatima Badatum Minni, that is, she is part of me. We normally translate it as part of me, part of my body, which is not fair in that translation. In that glorious ayah says that Inna arsalnaka rahmatan lil alameen, and that great personality, he says Rahmat is Zahra. And when we say Badatum Minni, part of me, part of my humanity that everyone knows, says when Allah has created Rasulullah as the mercy to the worlds, to the mankind, Zahra is also part of that mercy towards mankind. When he is Rahmatun Lil Alameen, she too is Rahmatun Lil Alameen. Now the last few hours, or the few hours, 2-3 hours after Rasulullah, when he had passed away, on that day when Saqifa was installed, was held, and the day when Imamat was usurped, those 2-3 hours, what exactly happened, inshallah, we'll talk on that a little bit, as to what painstaking masa'ib unfolded on this household of wine. We find in our books that مَا قُتِلَ الْحُسَيْنِ إِلَّا فِي السَّقِيفَةِ, that Hussein wasn't killed on that day of Ashura. In fact, in reality, Hussein was killed on this Saqifa, the day of Saqifa. That is the day when Rasulullah passed away, that was the day when Hussein died. Shahadat was on that day. Now, in the ziyarat that we have for Hazrat Zahra, we read, As-salamu alayki ayyatuha siddiqatu shahida. That is, salam be upon you, the trustworthy. Shahida is the martyr. She is the first shahida in this way and in this part of imamat, in the support of imamat. That is, when that foundation of inhiraf was being installed, was being built, foundation of deviation was being built, we find that at the same time, Zahra lays the foundation of supporting imamat in the best way. That is, every brick of this foundation has to be firm, so that this support towards imamat until the day of judgment is firm. As shaitan was laying his foundation strong, so that until the day of judgment, that deviation also is firm and strong. So she also has to fight and counterfight that in hiraf of shaitan. Then says, Al-mamnu'ati irsuha, someone whose irs was denied, whose inheritance was denied. Al-maksur dhilauha, someone whose ribs were broken, were crushed. Al-mazloom ba'luha, someone whose husband was oppressed, was mazloom. Now who is this mazloom husband? The strongest warrior of his time, the bravest soldier of his time, the bravest man in this creation of Allah. How come someone who is so brave becomes so oppressed, so mazloom? How come someone who was so much exalted 2 hours ago becomes so much wretched 2 hours after Rasulullah? So we have to analyze what exactly happened. Al-mazloom ba'luha, al-maqtool baladuha, and someone whose son was killed. Now, after Rasulullah, the oppressions that unfold on this household, that is the first thing which happens is this saqifa, and it is that meeting which takes place where those, they gathered in that place called Saqifa in Medina. Among them is Sa'd bin Ubadah from the dignitaries of Ansar, head of the Khazraj tribe. He was ill. His son Qais, he speaks on his behalf. Speaks about the services they had provided during the time of Rasulullah. And on the contrary, we have Umar and Abu Bakr from the Muhajirin side. They and Abu Ubaidah Jarrah, head of the Aus tribe, here Abu Bakr he speaks. And he spoke what the services he had or the tribe had provided towards Islam and Rasulullah. So dispute is between them, the two sides, and as everyone was focused towards Muhajireen, Umar he quickly stands and extends his bayat to Abu Bakr and says, "You are the Khalifa from now." Now in this film that was directed, produced by these actors of that time, we find that Sa'd bin Ubadah, he lost. And he did not accept this Khilafat of Abu Bakr, and to raise his objection, he migrated from Medina to Sham, and on his way en route to Sham, he was killed miraculously by someone, and it was said that it was the jinn who had killed him. So they got rid of Sa'd bin Ubadah as well. Here we find that Abu Bakr, Umar and Abu Ubaidah Jarrah, they successfully came to the Prophet's mosque, and Bani Hashim and Zubayr, and were with the Imam in Imam Ali's house. Bani Umayyah were with Usman, Bani Zuhra with Abdul Rahman, and Umar he comes to them and informs that Khilafat and of the Khilafat, and that the Ansar, they have extended their bayat, their allegiance towards Abu Bakr, and says that you also join. Now those against this decision, they had congregated in Amir al-Mu'mineen's house. They said, no, we don't. So their only worry was Zahra. Being the dearest to Rasulullah, being the only daughter of Rasulullah, and what loud sayings the Holy Prophet had talked and mentioned throughout his lifetime regarding her. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen, he denies this bayat. Abu Bakr instructs Umar to attack this house of Wahy. Majority of the historians now, what is being quoted is from the other school, from the Sunni sources. They say that it was the order and command instructions of Abu Bakr to attack. Umar by the house of Zahra alayhi salam, he stands, yells, says, "By God, there is no one dearer to us but your father. And after him, there is no one dearer than you. Who is the dearest to him?" But this does not mean that these men who have united and congregated in your house be a reason for us not to burn down this house of yours. And then Fatima alayha salam to Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Umar said this to me. If you do not leave the house, he will burn this house down with us in it." Ibn Qutaybah al-Nimari, he says that Umar, when he was adamant to burn down the house, he was said that inna fiha Fatima, that in that house Fatima is there. He says, "Wa in, let her be. I will burn down the house with her in it." And then says that there wasn't anyone in that house but Fatima, Ali, Hassan and Hussein were in the house, and they came to burn down the house. Now the prophets, Umar, Abu Bakr, he sends Qunfus. Qunfus is the slave of Umar. Sends him to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says that the Prophet's Khalifa has summoned you. Imam says, "The Prophet's Khalifa, so soon you have accused the Prophet, at-tuhmat on the Prophet, a lie you have ascribed to him." Qunfus returns to Abu Bakr and says, "This is what he has said." For the second time, he sends Qunfus, says Umar, now this time Umar also joins Qunfus, says, I will burn this house down with its inhabitants. And then Zahra, salamullahi alayha, she cries, says, مَاذَا لَقِينَا بَعْدَكَ مِنْ أَبِي الْخَطَّابِ, says, what is this that has unfolded on us from Ibn al-Khattab, the son of Khattab, who Ibn Abi Qahafa. And at this, those with Umar, they start crying. That is, upon the phrases that were uttered by Zahra, they cry. They dragged Amir al-Mu'mineen out of the house and then say that, should you deny bayat, we will behead you. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen says that you will kill a servant of Allah and the brother of Rasulullah. Umar says, yes, servant of Allah will be killed, but brother of Rasulullah will be killed? No. As if they had forgotten that Rasulullah had made Amir al-Mu'mineen his brother when he had moved and when they had come to Medina. Now in this ambush, we find that Umar with fire, and with a torch of fire in his hand, he comes to the house of Zahra to burn it down. فَقَالَتْ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ, she says, أَجِئْتَ لِتُحْرِقَ دَارَنَا, have you come to burn down our house? قَالَ نَعَمْ, says, yes. أَوْ تَدْخُلُوا فِي مَا دَخَلَتْ فِيهَا الْأُمَّةِ, or that you also extend your allegiance as the nation has done. And then says, حَرَّقُوا دَارَهَا بِمَنْ فِيهَا وَمَا كَانَ فِي الدَّارَ غَيْرُ عَلِي, they burnt the house down, and in that house was Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein. Now why did Muhsin die? This is also a tragedy that has unfolded just in those hours after Rasulullah in Nauman, ضَرَبَ بَطْنَ فَاطِمَ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامَ يَوْمَ الْبَيْعَى, that Umar, he hit the belly of Zahra on that day of Bay'ah so much, حَتَّى أَلْقَتِ الْمُحْسِنِ فِي بَطْنِهَا, that is, until Muhsin also died in her. Now Umar wanted to enter the house. She did not allow. Says that she cried, I won't let you in. With the cover of his sword, he hit her on her side, as a result of which her ribs also were broken and crushed. She called, Ya Abata. To calm her down, he lashes again on her arms, as if she was not allowing him to enter. She cries, Ya Abata, Ya Rasulullah, see what Abu Bakr and Umar have done after you. At this cry of Zahra, Ali, he comes out, holds Umar by his collar, tight, throws him to the ground, and says, Ya Ibn Zahra, that is, says, Umar, you know that. Lawla kitabullah min Allah sabab, that is, if it wasn't for the instructions of Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala, if it wasn't for the promise I had given to Rasulullah, you could not have had entered this house of mine. People were notified. They rushed to the scene. Amir al-Mu'mineen took to the sword. Qunfuz to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr instructs, burn down the house with everyone in it. Now we find that many a times the slave Qunfuz, he rushes to the mosque. Now distance from the house of Amir al-Mu'mineen to the house, it's a very short distance, maybe from this wall to that wall. So it doesn't take that much time for him to go and come back with that news. Amir al-Mu'mineen is dragged to the mosque. Now here we find that Salman, he with that sight of barzakh which he has, that sees the haqa'iq and reality, says that I saw as if azab, the wrath of Allah, descend towards Medina. Says, I rushed to Amir al-Mu'mineen to stop Zahra from cursing. If she had raised her hands to curse, nothing here in Medina would remain, everything would have perished. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen, he stops. Now, after all these incidents that had unfolded, we find that the haven of Zahra is the cemetery of Uhud. That is, the grave of Sayyid al-Shuhada Hamza. She acquaints, and that is her old acquaintance, in the graveyard to sit and cry by the grave of her uncle, of her grandfather, or it's in Baqi. And for her crying, here we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen makes a Baytul Husn for her to sit and cry, as the people in Medina had objected. That is, tell Zahra to either cry during the day or cry during the night, as her crying does not allow us to live. Now, after this, the two, that is Umar and Abu Bakr, they come to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to Zahra, to say sorry. She does not allow. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen, he mediates upon the mediation of Abu Bakr and Umar, comes to Zahra and says that, I want to mediate, they want to see you, they want to say sorry to you. Now look at the obedience of Zahra. Someone who has hurt her so much, the only daughter of Rasulullah, someone who had crushed her between the door and the wall, someone who is the killer of her baby. When Amir al-Mu'mineen comes to mediate, says that, Ya Ali al-Baytu Baytuk, says, Ali, house is your house. One nisa al-rijal, and women are for men. La ukhalifu alayka shay'an, I will not object at all. And then the two come. And then they want to talk to Zahra. First they say salam, she does not reply. And then upon their request, she says that, I want to mention something to you. Says that, Hal sami'tuma Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi yaqul. Have you heard? Have the two of you heard what Rasulullah had mentioned? Fatima bad'atun minni, that Fatima is part of me, wa ana minha, and I am from Fatima. Man adaha faqad adani, whosoever has hurt her has hurt me. Wa man adani faqad adallah, someone who has hurt me has hurt Allah. Wa man adaha ba'da mawti, someone who has hurt her after my death, kanaka man adaha fi hayati, is like someone who has hurt her in my during my life. Wa man adaha fi hayati kanaka man adaha ba'da mawti, and someone who has hurt her during my life is as if who has hurt her after my death. The two of them, they say, Naam, yes, we heard the Prophet say so. Then what she does, says, Allahumma inni ashhaduka annahuma adayani, says, Allah, I bear witness that the two of them, they hurt me. And then says, Wallah la ukallimukuma, that is, by God, I will not talk to you until I meet my Lord, and there I will complain as to what you two did to me. And then, upon this reply of Zahra, Abu Bakr, he starts crying, saying that, Ya layta ummi lam talidni, I wish my mother never gave birth to me. And then he starts pleading, saying, Ana a'idun billah min sakhatihi, I seek refuge in Allah from his wrath, from his adab, and from what Fatima has cursed me. Now here she says that, Wallah, لَأَدْعُوَنَّ عَلَيْكَ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ أُصَلِّيهَا, that is, I will curse the two of you after every prayer, every salat of mine that I offer. That is, so much they had heard. Now this glorious lady, who is the daughter of Rahmatun Lil Alameen, what rank does she possess? How much did they hurt her, as a result of which she says as such? She lived for about 75 or 95 days after the Prophet, and those days she was always in tears. She never smiled, never laughed, never was happy. Only on one occasion she was seen smiling, and that was the day of her demise. And that is, here we find that Asma bint Umais, wife of Ja'far al-Tayyar, who was living in Abyssinia, she says, today she was happy. She says that Asma, when I die, I don't want my body to be evident, to be seen even in my coffin. Although her instructions were that she be buried at night, her coffin be at night, shrouded at night, dafn at night. Says that even in that night, I don't want my body to be seen by those who will be, the few who will be present. Then Asma says, I made a coffin and I tied a piece of cloth round it and said that in Africa, that is how those coffins were made. Says, upon seeing her coffin, she was happy. That was the only time she was happy. Now this lady, who is so great, regarding her, the Almighty, what does he say? Says that on the day of judgment, that is when Mahshar will be installed, established, and Mahshar, as it was mentioned, it is not this dunya. This dunya will come to an end. And mankind will be gathered in a land, in a new creation of Allah. And the entire creation, the first who came into existence, to the last who will come into existence, all of them will be gathered in this plain of Mahshar, which is a flat land. Everyone will be present. And in that akhirah, in that mahshar, there is no haram, there is no halal, there is no mahram, there is no non-mahram, non-mahram. Says the caller will be Jibreel. Jibreel would say, "Ghuddu absarakum," that is, lower your sights. Look down. Why look down? Says, because Fatima is passing by. Fatima is passing by in her right, in her carriage. Says, instructions to the creation, lower your sights, look down. Look down because she is non-mahram? No, not because of that. Because the greatness which she possesses, the lofty position of hers, is such that no one can look. And here the hadith says that no one from among the creation, not even the prophets, the angels, the shuhada, will be present, but they will cast down their looks because Fatima is passing by. Says that now that she has passed by and she has come to the throne of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah says to her, Ya Habibati, my beloved, Salini, ask, whatsoever you ask will be given to you. Says, Shifat, if it is that your, if that is your request, will be granted. Whatsoever you want will be granted. And then says that, with regards to your enemies, those who have hurt you, فَوَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَادِي, Allah says, by my dignity, by my honor, by my might, I will avenge them. That revenge will be taken by myself. Now what does she request? She says, إِلَٰهِ وَسَيِّدِي, my Lord, my Master, ذُرِّيَّتِي, my descendants, وَشِيَعَتِي, and my Shias, وَشِيَعَةِ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and the Shias of my descendants, that is you and me, وَمُحِبِّي, those who loved me, وَمُحِبُّ ذُرِّيَّتِي, and those who loved my descendants. Says Allah, I want all of them. Then instructions will be given, أَيْنَ ذُرِّيَّةُ فَاطِمَا وَشِيَعَتُهَا, where are the descendants of Fatima? Where are the Shias of Fatima? Where are the lovers of Fatima? Where are those who love the descendants of Fatima? Says all of them will be given to her and she will enter the heaven with them. Or the other quote says that when Fatima, she wants to enter the heaven, she stops. Rasulullah says, Zahra, why did you stop? Did anyone stop you? She says, Father, what am I going to do in this heaven all alone? Says, how will you be happy, Zahra? She says, all of my Shias, all of those who loved me, all of those who cried for me, all of those who cried for my son Hussein, I want all of them to be with me, all of them, those who serve them. Then Rasulullah says that if with that your pleasure will be sought, Zahra, I will provide all of that to you. And even if there is someone to whom the hell has been destined, I will jump deep down in that hell, bring him out so that this pleasure of Zahra is sought. So that is that lofty, exalted position of Zahra alayhi salam. So we find that with regards to the levels she possesses, there is no one like her in this creation of Allah. We find people are Sayyid. If the mother is Sayyid, you call them Mirza, he is half Sayyid. If the father is Sayyid, the child is Sayyid. Sometimes you find that father and mother both are Sadat, you call them Sayyid, Najibut Tarafain, from both the sides he is Sayyid. And as the ancestors, you find that the more of them and the parents are Sayyid, that Siyadat on this person also is strong. In this creation of Allah, it is only Zahra salamullahi alayha who possesses ismat, infallibility, to an amount no one possesses. Father is ma'soom, husband is ma'soom, two sons are ma'soom. Even Rasulullah does not possess that much of an ismat. Amir al-Mu'mineen also is not as such. It is only Zahra. That is, with all that greatness which she has, and with all this loud talk which Allah talks about her, instructing the creation, Wuzzu absarakum, lower down your sights, because Zahra wants to pass by. Now we find that in her wasiyah, she says that the wasiyah is to her husband Amir al-Mu'mineen. Says, Ali, I want to be buried at night. No one be present in my funeral. To be washed at night, to be shrouded at night, to be buried at night, and no trace of my grave should be remaining. Now why is all that? We find that regarding the place of her burial, it's a few spots. Now whenever we go to Medina, the first thing which hits our mind is see the grave of Rasulullah, and we get a little bit happy that at least he has a spot that we can address to. But when we go to Medina and look for the spot where the burial of Zahra is, we don't find any trace. So it's either in Baqi, where in Baqi we don't know. It's either in the house of Rasulullah, where there we don't know. In her own house we don't know. Baina, in that Riyazul Jannah, we don't know. So it is all a mystery and no one knows. Now at the time when it was night, and the shahadat of hers takes place either during the time of Zuhr or nearer to that Maghrib. Here Amir al-Mu'mineen is informed by Hassanayn that she has passed away. Amir al-Mu'mineen, a strong personality, a brave warrior, age also is not that much, height of youth. When he is informed that she has passed away from the mosque to the home, he faints, he passes out a few times, falls to the ground, and comes to the house and is informed that she has passed away. In her wasiyah, she says that, be buried at night, be shrouded at night, and then says, Ya Ali, Ana bintu Rasulullah, I am the daughter of the Prophet. He wedded me to you, لِأَكُونَ لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, so that I be with you in this dunya and in the hereafter. أَنْتَ أَوْلَى بِي, you are superior to me, better than me, than any other. حَنِّتْنِي وَغَسِّلْنِي فِي اللَّيْلِ وَكَفِّنِّي بِاللَّيْلِ وَصَلِّ عَلَيَّ وَأَدْفِنِّي بِاللَّيْلِ. Shroud, kafan, dafn, all of that has to be at night. And then says, أُوْسِيكَ, my instructions, wasiyya, to you, Allah yashhada ahadun janazati, that no one should come to my coffin from among those who have hurt me, who have oppressed me, who have taken and seized my right. فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, they are my enemies, the enemies of Rasulullah. And then says, وَلَا تَتْرُ أَن يُسَلِّيَ عَلَيَّ أَحَدٌ, do not allow any one of them to say prayers on me. وَأَدْفِنِّي بِاللَّيْلِ, and then at night you'll have to bury me. Now we find that with so much of pain, all these instructions have to be carried by Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he also abides by that wasiyah. Says that when everyone was informed that she has passed away, here the two khalifas, they come and say that, Ali, we want to be the first to say prayers on Zahra. Here Abu Zar comes out and gives that instruction that this funeral has been delayed and it will be in the morning. It has been delayed. And at night they conduct everything. Now as her instructions were that everything has to be at night, here says that Beris Abe Ravan Asma Vali Aheste Aheste. Now those who were washing Zahra, Asma, she pours water, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he washes the body. Says, Beris Abe Ravan Asma, Asma, you pour the water. Vali Aheste Aheste. That is quietly. Why quietly? Says Zahra's instructions were there that everything has to be at night. No one should find out. And we don't want even the drops of this water to be heard by anyone. Bijisme athare Zahra vali aheste aheste. And then says that as Amir al-Mu'mineen was washing the body of Zahra, all of a sudden he screams. Says, what happened, Amir? Says Zahra, she had hid, she never told us that her arm was bruised, her ribs were crushed, and this pain of hers she was bearing on by herself. Bibin bishkaste pahluyash, siyah galbi bibazuyash, biliz abe ravan ruyash, vali aheste aheste. Look at the broken ribs of hers. Look at the bruised arm of hers. Pour that water on her face. But aheste, aheste, quietly, so that no one finds out. Buvat khun jariyai asma hanuz azsineye zahra. That is when she was dashed between the door and the wall, there was a nail in that door. And that nail, it went into the chest of Zahra, as a result of which that chest of hers was wounded. Says, look, Asma, even now this blood, it is flowing from this wound of Zahra. Look, aheste, aheste, that is, pour this water and cry on Zahra so much that no one finds out. Now, when she was washed, shrouded, body is taken out. Here we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he lays her to rest. Now that he has laid her to rest, her instructions were that Ali, you sit in my grave by my head, recite Quran and dua a lot, as that was my acquaintance in my dunya. Amir al-Mu'mineen does that. Quickly closes the grave, stands by the grave, and then communicates with Rasulullah. Says that, Ya Rasulullah, this amanat, this trust that you had given to me is now returned, has now been returned. Now does it say that all those oppressions, what happened, how she was burnt down, how she was crushed, how she was hurt, how the baby was killed, how the ribs were crushed, doesn't mention anything. Now look at the atmosphere in Medina, how it was that Imam stands by the grave, talks to Rasulullah, and then says, Rasulullah, I want to leave quickly now. I can't stand a lot. I can't stay here for long. Not because that I don't like to talk to you. I love to talk to you. But if I stand by her grave for a longer time, they will find out where I have buried your dearest daughter. Says that he buries her and quickly disperses from there and makes a few spots as fake graves so that no one finds out where Zahra has been buried. Ilahi, bihaq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. 10 times, Ya Allah, 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 Ya Allah. Ilahi bihaq al-Zahra, all those who are ill and ailing, especially present in this majlis, and all those who have hopes in these majalis, grant them shifa. Amen. All those who have passed away, Allah, forgive them, elevate their ranks. Ya Allah, hasten in the return of our Imam, our Master, our Hujjah. Count us among his true servants and those who seek Shahadat in his service. Ya Allah, all those who are longing and wishing for children, be blessed with the best of children. All those who have been blessed with children, Allah, enlist and count them among the best of Muslims who ever existed. There is a lot of wrong in us, Allah, forgive us. In these days of Rahmah, in these days of Rahmatun lil Alameen, in these days of Aba Abdullah and Hussein, whose ship is vast, who takes us to our destination fast, Allah, count us among the best of those who mourn for Aba Abdullah, among the best of those who serve this noble cause of Aba Abdullah. Mu'mineen worldwide, protect them. All those who have stood against Islam and Muslims, defame them and clear the surface of this earth from their presence. Wa'ajjil fi faraj Mawlana Sahib al-Zaman Fatim Hussain.
Ya Hussain. Ya Hussain.